high time now for our tune of the week.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
And we are back on the Media Industry Guru Podcast. How's it going? Here today is Pardee Bridget, and he joins from Nine Rooftops as the creative director. He has a unique background working as a writer in TV news, and now he works in digital marketing for a ton of different brands, from AT&T to McDonald's to Disney to Hard Seltzer to a plethora of others, to car deals and many, many more. He is going to talk about strategic planning, focusing on brand positioning, his marketing advice, what goes into a marketing campaign, and all the tips and tricks he can share for college students and recent grads who have aspirations for being in the marketing and brand advertising space. So let's welcome Pardee to the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Hey Pardee, welcome to the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Really excited to hear all things about you in the marketing back with your creative marketing background, as well as your entertainment background, working with an eclectic experience with a bunch of different clients such as AT&T, Lexus, McDonald's, Disney. You have the whole gambit. So excited to hear more about your background.
Cool. Thank you. Glad to be here, and thanks for inviting me. This is a pretty exciting experience. So, you know, again, thank you very much.
Yeah. So tell us what got you interested in the marketing side, working with entertainment clients as well as big brands.
Well, I would say, and this is going to sound cliche because I know everybody, well, most everybody, especially Black men in the ad space, they'll all go to Boomerang, right? Marcus. You know, and that for a lot of us, that was the first look in like this glamorous lifestyle marketing and advertising. But actually, you know, for me, it started even before that, just watching TV, watching commercials, always, you know, dreaming and being fascinated with how stories are told and things like that. And plus, I remember early on in my life, my grandmother, my granny, had this framed poem, and it was by one of our uncles. It was a relative, and I was just like always fascinated. Like, wow, you know, he's a published author. He's a writer. This is so cool. I mean, it just blew my mind, right? So even at an early age like that, it was just the influence of, you know, being connected to somebody and wanting to be recognized for, you know, your talents and your art. So that's kind of what hooked me in. And then obviously later it was Boomerang.
And yeah. Would you say he was one of your biggest mentors, both personally and professionally, or did you have any other mentors as well?
I never met my uncle, so he wasn't a direct mentor. It was just like a, like a one step removed fascination. But I had mentors along the way and people that I look up to. Even today, I still, you know, it's like that company you keep, that still kind of pushes me and motivates me. Mm-hmm. I have some really good friends who are all pretty much captains of industry in their fields, I say. And so just that, being around those group of men and women, they inspire me and keep me motivated to, you know, do the best work I can.
And then, so tell us about how you got started in the marketing space and what led you to become the creative director of Nine Rooftops.
That's a really great question. And I think it's an interesting story, but it really all started during the during early in my career, I was doing spoken word and poetry slams in Chicago. And during one show, one of the poets said, you know, I think I'm really going to be a copywriter. And I was like, what does that mean? What, you know, like, we can get paid doing this, you know, for, you know, he was like, yeah, man, you know, this is the thing. There's a bunch of agencies here in Chicago. I think I'm going to do that. And so I was kind of, it intrigued me at the moment because I'd always been a fan of Nike advertising and just advertising in general with, you know, back in the day you had like jingles and, you know, all these things. And so I was quickly like, as soon as I heard that, you know, we can get in this industry, be creative and just kind of have fun, I was immediately into it 100%. But then I got an early break I started freelancing for a bunch of different agencies in Chicago. I had gone to Miami Ad School and I got a break to work at Crispin Porter and Bogusky in Miami. And so that was kind of my intro in. It was at a great time as well because I was kind of dabbling in production, trying to feel around what I was going to do. And mm-hmm. so I got a break to be a traffic coordinator for CPB. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And even though I, you know, I was like, I want to be a writer, an ad writer, it was an in. And I got to see how these masters of the ad industry and these master creatives, you know, thought, you know, process, create, you know, ideation. And it was, you know, a great moment in time for me because Miami Ad School, I was learning the craft. And at CPB, I was in the trenches with these masters at work.
So basically, you kind of combine the education along with just the hands-on experience. But you started, what's interesting is you started in copywriting and the news side of the industry. So tell us, like, what made you, like, pivot into more of a marketing agency, ad sales from news?
Still in the creative industry, you know, it's still creative marketing. But advertising has changed a lot from when I started. And, you know, even as I was early in my career as a creative director for an agency called Common Ground in Chicago, you know, I had, it was like the beginning of like web series. And so, you know, in this long format storytelling. And so I had a chance to kind of like see the evolution of these things. And just being a writer and wanting to tell stories and get people excited about, you know, what I was into and my POV on things, that just led me to so many other things and touch points, you know. So as a creative, you know, you want to keep exploring and keep being excited by new mediums and new ventures. And so, you know, that took me to doing music videos and doing, you know, independent films. And, you know, so I've been able to really be a chameleon when it comes to the creative sector, of just being able to have, you know, vision and a voice and being able to apply that to different things. And so that's what excites me about the industry. So it's like, for me, advertising was like the quick hit. I can quickly get a commercial on air versus a film, which might, you know, take years or something like that. And so it was doing these small projects here and there, and then just being able to kind of apply it to everything.
So you had like a bunch of freelance experiences working on an eclectic group of different projects, and then now you've shifted to more of a full-time role within Nine Rooftops. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your experience at Nine Rooftops and kind of explain like what a marketing campaign entails for those that don't know how to create one or are familiar with it. It's a whole big process, I bet.
Yeah, it's something that differs for each client, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, at Nine Rooftops, my job, you know, I'm responsible for a bunch of different things and ways to get into things. So, right now, I'm working on a client that we are developing a brand from scratch. So this is really brand building 101, where, you know, we are coming up with the name of the product, you know, so a naming convention, coming up with what the look and feel is going to be for that brand, how it's going to sound and how the voice and the tone is going to react with it. And so for an example, the naming convention, you know, we did, you know, you're doing research, you're coming up with a list of names, you got a team that works together, and we compile the list. And some of the challenges, you know, are still that it's a client, so you're working for them, so they do have the input. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, you're like, this is it, they're like, yeah, but what if this is red? But what if we made it, you know, a little rouge? You know, it's like, what if we made it burgundy? And you're like, okay, well, and so we do testing, and then, you know, clients can be wrong because, for instance, they chose a name and they brought it to us and said, we really like this name. And we said, well, you know, the problem with that name and the feedback was from the research was, you know, it sounds really familiar and it, you know, it sounds like something that, you know, we can adapt to, right? We, you know, we feel mm-hmm. like it's us. And my feedback was, well, think about this. If a name sounds familiar now, and the reason why you think it is familiar today, in 5 years from now, that, you know, that phrase is going to be, oh, that name is yeah. going to sound like it, you know, it's not future for it. So, you know, so that's part of my job as a creative director is to understand these things. What's, you know, not just what's on trend, but also thinking beyond that scope. So, but a lot of my job, you know, for building brands and building voices of the brand is really that, just trying to, lend it, you know, create a new path for, create a new identity. Mm-hmm. Not just visually, but also how it sounds and how it will end up in market.
And do you also look at like consumer demographics and like any type 100%. Of metrics or analytics? And if so, like how has analytics played into your role or marketing in general?
Well, you know, you have to be aware of how things are, again, how it's mm-hmm. being affected in the industry, in the market. So we definitely take into mindset behaviors. We have to look at and because our worlds right now, you know, if you say you nobody wants to be super specific targeted, like you can't go say it's these guys right here, because it's actually a mindset. And I think I will attribute a lot of that to like hip hop, because hip hop is so inclusive. You know, it is a mindset. When you talk about the young demographic, it's, you know, it's no longer, you know, these by, you know, skin tones or anything. It's the mindset. And so a lot of that, you know, is just understanding who you're talking to and how to reach them.
Sure.
When it comes to the analytics side, you know, is how it's performing and how it's being welcomed into that mix. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, We use a lot of data. We love the getting numbers back and understanding how it's working. And I think that becomes from, you know, this digital landscape that we're in now, where you can get things in real time and understand how it's performing. So, you know, and numbers just really, okay. And I'll take a step back and say, obviously numbers do tell a side of the story, but you also have to have the eyeball test, the earball test, you know, it's like, you know, it may not be showing up right now, but people are really, it's sticking, it's making sense to people. So you have to still use some of the humanistic approach to data as well, and not just go by numbers alone.
Sure. So it's a combination of the qualitative and quantitative. And you've touched upon like the foundations of building a marketing campaign, but what would you say makes a marketing campaign or advertisement or billboard successful, and what makes it not successful? Because I don't know if you've seen the documentary with Pepsi with the airplane jet.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. And it was a really interesting story.
Yeah, 100%. You know, so I think again, what has changed from those days, like that golden era of advertising to today, is really just how people are consuming information, right? Mm-hmm. We're a much more savvy, you know, set of individuals now. And so, you know, people don't want necessarily to be advertised to. They want to be you have to feel like they are part of this culture and this brand. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way that we look at it. You know, when I'm, you know, starting to build, you know, campaigns or, you know, any type of communication that's going outwards, it's mm-hmm. like, you want a personal story. You want to be able to connect to somebody. Like, you know, as a writer, the biggest thing for a writer is vulnerability, being able to put some of yourself and open up, right? Mm-hmm. And when I was early in my career, you know, you'd have these giants like Bill Birnbach, and you know, they'd always be talking about, you know, you got to write from the heart, and you're like, but it's an ad. What are you talking about, right? But now it's like you understand that your voice, what you feel, is going to connect with somebody else, to a bunch of people. It's not, you're not a one-off, right? So how you respond and react to something is more 9 times out of 10 how somebody else is going to feel that and understand your story that you're trying to tell. So, you know, we want to be trans, you know, you got this, you know, these marketing verbs like transparent and things like that, but really it's all about just opening up and really just allowing yourself to be human and to tell a human story.
And do you, from your experience, you have music industry clients you've worked with. You've also worked in with film, Disney, and fast food industry, and telecommunications at AT&T. Do you have like a favorite marketing type of sector that you like more than others, or find more exciting or challenging?
I mean, that's interesting because, you know, I think the exciting part about advertising is, again, is we're problem solvers at the end of the day, right? So, you know, we when we're faced with challenges, it helps us to be more creative. So, you know, I can't say that, you know, out of all those clients, each one of them has had their ups and downs. You know, some of the things have been really fun. You know, AT&T is challenging because, you know, just because it's a heavily regulated sector. But, you know, but DirecTV, you can have a little more fun with. Disney was an interesting thing because we were working on the early iteration of, which is now Disney Plus. It was called Disney Movies Anywhere. So, you know, it was, you know, Disney's a very regimented kind of structured organization. Mm-hmm. They said, look, treat this business right here, treat it like it's an independent shop. So we got to go in there and really, like, you know, have fun and like do things that typical Disney wouldn't have allowed us to do. So, you know, you have these different things where you can be fun, you can have creative, you know, freedom and licensing. But, you know, again, for me, it's all about the story and how it connects to people. So I think that's the biggest thing. As far as music, I worked on a bunch of music videos. You know, I've worked with a bunch of different artists, from rock bands to hip hop bands and things like that. Mm-hmm. I worked with, you know, when I was at Walton Isaacson, we did a show called Verses and Flow, which was, again, spoken word, mm-hmm. and, you know, this whole kind of branded content section, which is, you know, it's like, that's the kind of area I like playing in. I think it's a really rich and fertile ground. You know, even now with our clients at Nine Rooftops, we've been able to, you know, play in the digital landscape of building, you know, the website and telling stories, telling like docu-series stories with people. And so, you know, that kind of thing is really fun because you get to, it's like creating a mini film at that point. So that's really interesting for me.
And I'm assuming that even working full time or even freelancing, like in the marketing space, it's not a typical like 9 to 5 where you have that same routine, right? It changes every day. It's exciting every day.
It is. You know, one thing about being a creative, which, you know, we all the people in the industry, we talk about it all the time, especially when you're freelancing or full time or whatever. When you get a project, your mind just can't shut off. You know, and, you know, now that we're, you know, in this two dimensional world of, like, you know, Zooms and, you know, teleconferencing and things like that, you're always at your computer. You're always thinking. You're always on. So it's funny. My whole thing for 2023 has been, you know, I've been talking about setting boundaries. Like, you know, you gotta carve time out for yourself. It's super important because, one, it'll burn you out, and you won't be creative because you'll just be so drained. You've been spent, and you know, you need a chance to go out and, you know, smell the roses, if you will, to be so cliche, but you need a chance to kind of get out there and see what's happening and enjoy life, because, you know, by experiencing life is the only way that you can then become a reporter, and, you know, if you will, and kind of, you know, share those stories and experiences with the public at large. And, you know, that's how you do your job effectively.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any personal or professional goals for this upcoming new year?
I do. I mean, you know, I have a couple of projects that I'm working on currently. I really want to, my goal is to, publish more articles, a few more articles. I want to build up enough readership, to really get some traction with a, novel that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. I also have, opportunity to do a documentary film about a hip hop group. That'll be something that's interesting. And just, you know, getting this brand up and launched, is definitely high on the radar of things that have to happen this year.
And kind of to wrap things up, a couple of last questions. Any advice that you could give for somebody in their 20s, navigating the entertainment industry to try to hone in on their craft, or for someone who has a marketing background that's passionate about marketing, but doesn't know how to break in?
Yes. You know, I think the biggest thing is finding a mentor, finding somebody that you can talk to, bounce ideas off of, you know, ask them questions. You know, one of the things that, you know, I do, or I have done a lot in my career, especially because I was feeling like at one point in time, I was feeling like I was stuck in a career and not taking the next step. And I think one of the things that I found interesting is reaching out to, you know, your LinkedIn connections. You may not know them. Ask them for 5 minutes. People will love to talk about themselves, you know, and just pick their brain, see how things are working. Ask them about the industry, ask them about insights. People love to talk about themselves. That's why we're doing this right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think that's a very important step, just to kind of get a feel for things. And also, I think it's really about, you know, and if you're a storyteller or a creative or whatever it is, it's about, in your work, being proud of it, adding some surprise and delight. You know, always make sure that you're, you know, entertaining, exciting the audience, making sure that they connect and you're connecting with them. And that's that whole thing again about being vulnerable and opening yourself up to try new things. So those are my couple of points that I'll leave you with.
Great. Thank you. And I'm assuming you also recommend for somebody early in their career to develop a portfolio or freelance as you did. You just don't start like at one of these big brands, plopped right in, right?
No, you definitely have to. Again, so a funny story about early in my career. Again, I was doing spoken word. I had written a poetry book. Mm-hmm. And the first agency that I went to, they were like, well, you need a book. And I was like, got a book. Like, not a poetry book. And so they're like, oh, you need a book of ads. Okay. So I'm like, done. I'll have it next week. Not a problem. They're like, that's not how it works. That's not, you know, it's like, you have to learn the process. And, you know, I talk about these steps all the time. People always try to skip steps and just get right to the finish line. And it's like, You have to understand how things work. You have to understand the process to get there. And it's that the beauty of getting to the finish line is going through that struggle, going through those those steps. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the fun of it all. That's, you know, you put in the effort, it's going to pay off, you know. So I think it's, you know, so again, so that's how I ended up at Miami Ad School, is because, you know, my experience was, they said, you got to have a book. I didn't know what a book was. And so I, you know, went to Miami Ad School to figure out the steps, learn how to concept, learn how to ideate, learn what's good and what's bad, you know. So definitely have to take the steps.
Yeah, thank you for sharing great wisdom. And any last parting words before we sign off?
Any last words? Be true to yourself and stay creatively curious, always.
Creatively curious, yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you, Pardee, for being on the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Wishing you great success for 2023 and beyond. And looking forward to seeing more of the campaigns that you create.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest, I mean coolest, upcoming episodes that you will hear. Email at MediaIndustryGuruPodcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself, or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.